Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us too on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. If you hadn't heard, the hurricane season kicked off June 1st, and with it can bring a mixed bag of emotions, especially for our friends and family on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So joining us today is Miss Wendy Bailey. She's here to help us wade through this hurricane season. So hey, Wendy.
Hey, Rebecca.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am not going to complain because so far we've made it 24 days into the hurricane season and nothing really headed our way, but you never know when that can change. So how do you guys sort of manage this time of year?
Well, and we only have a few more months to go, November 30th. Well, the Department of Mental Health, you know, we recognize that there's a lot of stress and anxiety that this time can bring to people and their families in our state, especially, like you said, on the Gulf Coast. So we were excited to partner with the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency to just really try to get the word out about how to prepare for hurricane season while also managing your mental health effectively. And really, preparation is the key for that. But then we also want to make people aware of kind of how to manage weather-related stress and just if there is a disaster, what reactions you could expect and how to get connected with resources.
I think the weather-related stress, Wendy, obviously is significant during hurricane season, but I think just within the last couple of years, the number of tornadoes or straight-line winds or flooding or just you name it. I mean, we've had just about it all, ice storms, all the things. And that's, you know, shouldn't laugh, but it is, at what point do you have nothing else to do but get tickled, Wendy, at everything that's come this way? I feel like no matter where you're at in the state, this can be good advice depending on the season.
That's exactly right. And, you know, being prepared is key. I know I didn't really think about that for me and my family until Hurricane Katrina happened. And I've been prepared since. Having that evacuation plan for you and your family members, knowing an evacuation is ordered, where you're going to go, having an emergency kit, making sure that you have assembled an emergency kit tailored to what your family needs, and having access to weather updates and hurricane tracking routes, just really being prepared. And then if there is an incident, making sure that you prioritize your self-care. Most of the time after some type of disaster, we kick into that survival mode. And most of the time we're trying to take care of others that are around us. But also making sure that we're prioritizing self-care and taking care of ourselves as well. And then many times during this time of the year, it can bring back memories of past disasters and events that have occurred that have been traumatic for someone. So just making sure that they're taking care of themselves is very important.
You mentioned taking care of yourself because we try to take care of others. I would say in that preparedness, we often should think about if we have parents or elderly members of our community that we kind of care for, look after. Some of that stress can come up when the weather comes up, wondering if they're ready. So thinking ahead and having not just yourself sort of got a what to do, but making sure those that you take care of that aren't under your roof has a what to do, I think it also reduces your stress. Right, Wendy?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. It's all of your family members, your loved ones, your church members, just your community, making sure that everyone is ready and knows what to do and knows what to respect as reactions as well. And just knowing some of those steps to how to take care of someone even after a disaster as well.
How would you know the difference, Wendy, from just maybe weather-related anxiety that comes with when the weather report's not looking favorable, they're starting to call for maybe, you know, tornadic weather specifically. I know this is hurricane season, but maybe that too. And you do start to slip back into some of those panic modes from past experiences being kind of normal, and you can manage those to like true, maybe like post-traumatic. Maybe you should get some better help for the level of anxiety that comes up with certain months or dates or things of like that if you were highly affected.
That's a great question, Rebecca. So everyone should know that stress, anxiety, depression, those are common in people who have experienced a disaster. And survivors who are living or working in that area, especially victims' loved ones, first responders, they may particularly struggle in the aftermath and even years after. But making sure that everyone takes steps to make sure they are coping with the stress that they are experiencing, and if that stress that they are experiencing becomes something that impacts their daily life, then maybe it's time to seek some extra help. Some signs and symptoms that someone may be struggling with trauma include insomnia or difficulty sleeping. You may have dramatic mood swings or a loss of temper, increasing use of alcohol or drugs or other substances. You can also have physical problems like headaches and stomach problems or disorientation or confusing symptoms or a fear of being left alone. If any of those reactions and those signs and symptoms begin to impact your ability to function daily, then you absolutely should reach out and talk to someone.
Would the Department of Mental Health be a good place to start, Wendy, if you don't know where to turn? I know some people have better connections than others when it comes to mental health care. And there's others that just feel like, I don't know where to go.
That's right. It is difficult many times to navigate, especially the mental health system in our state. So we're really working hard to try to make that easier. If you are having thoughts of, if you feel like you might be experiencing a mental health crisis or thoughts of suicide, we have 988. And that's a 3-digit lifeline number that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you call that, you will be routed to one of 2 call centers in Mississippi, and you will talk to a trained crisis counselor here in our state, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's an easy number to remember, 988, for any type of a mental health crisis. But we also have a helpline for the Department of Mental Health, and that number is 1-877-210-8513. It's available 24/7 as well, and it can provide you with services and supports that are available in your area. We also have the Department of Mental Health's website, dmh.ms.gov, and a website specifically for mental health in Mississippi. And it is www.mentalhealthms.com. And it's an online resource where you can find resources available in your county or your area of the state.
And if you've ever, I guess, connected with one mental health provider and it didn't mesh or something, say, work for you, you shouldn't give up. Right, Wendy?
That's it. That's exactly right. There are many providers and community mental health centers and other providers across the state. So if you have one thing that we really want to stress is that above all, everyone should know that it is okay to reach out for help. It's okay to not be okay at times, and it's okay to reach out for help if you need someone to talk to. And if you've reached out in the past and maybe you didn't have a good experience, like you said, to reach out again and to try again, because mental health affects us all. We know that 1 in 4 Mississippians has a mental illness, but we all have mental health. And we all have times where we may struggle more than other times, and that can especially be before or after a disaster. So we need to all remember that it's okay to reach out for help and to talk to someone when you need it.
Well, I think this is great advice, Wendy. I know that you guys with the Department of Mental Health and MEMA have got some great tips to manage this weather-related anxiety, and I really think that those tips can go regardless of hurricane season, tornado season, thunderstorm season, ice season, all the things. And so is there somewhere where we can go and sort of see, you know, what all you have recommended or see the checklist for being prepared?
Yes, absolutely. On our Department of Mental Health website, dmh.ms.gov, we have a tab called News and Events, and under that you can select Disaster Updates. And that's also where we post information during and after a disaster as well. But that has some common reactions and helpful steps and tips that you can take to prepare before and after a disaster.
I like under When a Storm is Imminent, Wendy, you guys said wear durable shoes. My mama always said, and put on a good bra.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Those shoes and that bra is important.
Yes, they are. And all of it is. And keeping a light heart and just trying to stay focused and prioritizing your mental health, I think, is always a good thing, Wendy. So I appreciate your time here on Good Things.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All righty, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
In Mississippi. Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
I'm a morning time, and we're going strong, heading up down the river. Oh Lord, I feel the reveling. I feel a change on the rise. What good's a man?
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. Always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Now, coming up tomorrow, that would be Tuesday, you've got the Ricky Matthews Show and Middays with Gerard Gibbert. They will be at the Mississippi Municipal League's annual conference in Biloxi. It's an event that brings city and county leaders from across the state to work together as they look to the future of the Magnolia State. So our coverage is brought to you by Raymond James and Covington County Hospital. Raymond James Public Finance is providing innovative solutions to all types of government financing and needs to help make communities across Mississippi even better places to live. We can all agree that's a good thing. To learn more, visit rjworksformississippi.com and then Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters. CovingtonCountyHospital.com. Over on the Good Things Facebook group, I posted where we have another Mississippi connection to watch in Paris coming up in 2024. I saw our Ole Miss alumni Sam Kendricks. He won his 11th career national title in the pole vault to book a passage, or his passage to Paris, says the headline. I did not get to see that particular performance, but anything outstanding on the pole vault to me gets a round of applause, because you're not getting me out there trying that.
I saw somewhere where even though he booked his ticket, he still might not go.
Why? Well, I guess I'm sure there's a lot of logistics, a lot of things to consider. I mean, maybe his schedule's booked. I don't know. Maybe your friend's having a wedding. Who knows? But anyway, he has the opportunity. Let's put it that way. If he would like to go, it's another Mississippi connection. So another name on the list of people to watch out and look for. Over at supertalk.fm, I like looking at the headlines under the lifestyle tab if you like to look for some good things. And if you are into the hit show on Netflix called Bridgerton, or maybe you just rolled your eyes, either way, it's the hottest show out there now, regardless. I had no idea we had a connection to Mississippi, that one of Jackson State's alumni have written for some of the episodes for that hit show. And if you would like to read more about that, then you can find that over at supertalk.fm. Mississippi talent just everywhere you look, which I think is really, really cool. I also think it's cool that they have dog shows for
the prettiest, most well-groomed, well-kept, most, what's the word, like classiest or charming pets?
Frou-frou.
Snobby, if you want to say it that way.
Snickety,
I think is a better word to say it. But then you've got the world's ugliest dog contest that comes around where, I mean, God bless their owners and the ones who found their way to creatures that just stand out in a lineup, right? And that still provide all the fur love and licks and companionship that the cream of the crop does. And you might could argue that those that look different in their fur are some of the best pets, but it makes for the best contest in my opinion. And so this year, a Pekingese named Wild Thang. Can you say Thing? Thang. I think it's Thang. It's spelled with an A, so they wanted Thang. Wild Thang. Took home, I guess, the trophy for, and you hate to say ugliest dog because it does feel like you're poking fun. I mean, or you're talking down, but they hold it with great regard. Like they recognize, hey, my pets are just not your poster child sort of looking of their breeds. Wild hair, tongues that just don't go naturally where they're supposed to, you know.
Poor Wild Thing. It looks like there's not a single picture where his tongue is not
just hanging out sort of like to the side. But he's living his best life. He does not look like he's missed a meal and having all the love in the world. But I think it's adorable that they bring them together and sort of give these pooches a chance to shine. It happens every year. I think it's the 8th annual one. And he previously, I think, placed 2nd maybe, or his 4th time in this contest was a charm for this particular pup. And he gets a whopping $5,000 in prize money. You know, that's not as much as I would expect it. I would have thought a little more. I think it's more about just the enjoyment of getting out there and seeing other dogs who
Wild also... Wild Thang has a very late 80s Rod Stewart look about him.
Mm-hmm. He's adorable. I mean, you're not going
to... In its own way.
Well, yeah. I mean, his... Yes. So if you... Would you gravitate towards a Wild Thang-ish in the pet shop?
It would depend.
They would have to pick you.
Yeah.
And then you're just, there you go.
Like, I didn't pick Porch Cat. Porch Cat was brought into my apartment and then picked me. So now I'm stuck with Porch Cat.
Well, I think y'all are the best duo. I think we need a Rhino and Porch Cat for President 2024 t-shirts because I would totally vote for that duo for sure. You had a good weekend, though. You got to go, maybe it wasn't the Olympics of Comic-Cons, but it's a big one that comes to the South, right? Like, it's one of the larger ones that comes this way.
I mean, yeah, it's... The biggest one in Mississippi. There are a couple. There's one in North Mississippi. There's one on the coast. But yeah, this is the Mississippi Comic Con this past weekend, and I got to go yesterday, and it was a lot of fun.
Large crowds. Did you get to, like, what stood out to you?
It seems like every year there are more and more celebrity appearances. So if you are hankering for an autograph or to take a picture with them, or some of them will record little funny videos or sound bits for your voicemail or whatever, just depending. It seems like that section grows more and more every year, to where there's more and more opportunities, more and more different people you can meet that you wouldn't normally get a chance to rub elbows with. The only problem is there's only so much space, so if you have more and more celebrities, there's less and less merchandise. So there was a whole lot of art, really cool stuff. There were funky lamps and lanterns, and one dude had laser-etched metal wallets, like stuff I hadn't seen at the Comic-Con mm-hmm. before. But then you had the normal, here's action figures and playing cards and comic books and posters and shirts and hats and all this other kind of fun stuff. And, of course, one of the more popular booths at any Comic-Con is the sword booth, where you just have this throng of people just gawking at all the different crazy looking swords. You don't get to play with them.
Are they real swords, though?
But you can buy them. And yeah, some of them are real swords. Yeah. Some of them are more wall hangers where they look like a sword, but if you smacked them in anything, they'd probably fall to pieces.
Would you be surprised at the variety of folks there from all walks of life who have like that secret, not like it's anything wrong, but just have that, side of them that likes comics, Comic-Con, that comes out like at the convention, like you can look through and see, you know, everybody, all types there. It's not like you can't stereotype it, I think is what I'm trying to say.
The stereotype that you could give being nice about it is there are many different passions wandering around. Mm-hmm. From the guy that dressed up in a full Ghostbusters outfit with the proton pack and everything to somebody wearing a Boba Fett costume from Star Wars with the full armor, like looked kind of like the Mandalorian. Those two dudes, they were dedicated to their cosplay because it was not a chilly day yesterday.
No.
And they're in full get-up, layers upon layers. So that's a level of passion that I don't know that I have within me to wear
now.
To wear four layers of heavy stuff to
20 years ago?
20 years ago.
Okay, wait, you're younger than me. 15 years ago?
Maybe.
Yeah. But still, you can go and sort of appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and sort of dig through and see.
One thing I've never done at the Comic-Con, as far as like making it a point to take part in it, although I've walked by when it's happening, I've been in the same big room where it's happening, I just didn't take part, that I need to get on one of these days. They have scheduled Q&A sessions where the different actors or voice actors or wrestlers or whoever will set up time away from their booth where you stand in line to get the autograph or whatever, and they'll come do a Q&A in the Coliseum there where it's just you and them.
Mm-hmm.
You got a question about the movie they were in or the character they played or their favorite type of ice cream, whatever it is, within reason, you can ask them questions and just get one-on-one with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, not really one-on-one. It's them and the audience.
You get your question
answered. Yeah, you get your question answered.
By them. Is this only once a year?
Yeah. At the Mississippi Comic Con is a once-a-year thing. There are similar things. Like, you have the Anime Fest that is very similar. And then you have the one in North Mississippi and the one on the coast. And I think there's one in New Orleans coming up in September.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Well, if you missed out, then put your clock on, because you got 364 more days until you can go again. But you don't have to wait that long, because we'll be right back coming up next.
Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm, always on that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can find us too on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, but don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And if you don't have plans this weekend, we got something for you to do. We got the Mississippi Championship Balloon Festival and then Good Samaritan Center's a balloon chase, bike ride, walk, run, whatever you want to do to get to the end of the line. But most importantly, the golf ball drop is happening. And joining us is Kathy Glenn with the Good Samaritan Center to tell us more. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, hey. Good to see you.
So
always love coming here.
Is number what for you guys in Good Sam?
I don't know. We're saying that eighth or ninth, well, for the ball drop and for the balloon chase.
Uh-huh.
But we've been affiliated with the Championship Hot Air Balloon Race for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which means that it's a staple. It's a staple here in Central Mississippi. It's also a staple for those outside to come in and enjoy it. How many years, or when did Good Samaritan connect with the championship or the Balloon Festival? I don't know if it's always been the Championship Balloon Festival, but the Balloon Festival.
Well, it's been about 25 years ago. My board president, her husband was a balloonist. And they were trying to rethink how they were going to do that balloon festival up there, and they really wanted to do it for a charity. And they said, would you be interested in helping us do this? It's a really fun family event. We could make some money and have a lot of fun. And that's, you know, that's Good Sam's motto, having fun while making a difference. And so we said, yeah. And, you know, it's been interesting because over those years, it's gone through a lot of different changes. Now it's back with tourism. It was with Parks and Recs when we first started. And there's always been the Ridgeland component to it. But, you know, it's just really been a blast of fun. And even though it might not make tons and tons and tons of money, it really is a great way to get the message of Good Sam out. And that's the part that we love.
And what is the message of Good Sam?
Well, helping families in crisis. Boom, right there.
Gosh, but there's so it's that is a deep one-line sentence.
As
that you
many
guys
different
do.
Families and individuals yeah. as there are, there's different kinds of crisis situations, and so you know we take it really seriously. My staff works really, really hard. If we can't help because of whatever we're doing is not that. I've got case managers that are going to work hard to try to find that assistance. We want to be a really important part of the network of helping hands in greater Central Mississippi.
And I think one thing that sets Good Samaritan Center apart is the fact that you do have your case managers. A family walks in, someone mm-hmm. comes in looking for help. It's not, and you do have the opportunity to provide food or clothing or some of those immediate needs, but you guys connect, you get to know, you go a little deeper where it makes sense, and then that's when you start to sort of wheel them out to the different organizations or resources that they need. It's not, you know, they don't walk in once and then just leave.
Right, there. Right. It would be yeah. a lot easier if that's what how we did it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But early on, we decided, you know, sort of biblically speaking, you know, you don't, if we believe, if we really feel that poor will be with us always, okay, mm-hmm. there are always going to be people that need help. I'm just a firm believer that it's not going to be the same, folks. And with love, encouragement, education, assistance, motivation, folks can really pull themselves up by their bootstraps and learn and really be better off after our help and after changes that they made so that they're not going to necessarily continually to need the help. Yes, somebody else will come and not have all that and those resources, and then we'll start that challenge all over again. But, yeah, it's, you know, we love what we do.
Yeah. And you also have your satellite location in Laurel.
We do. Only Soup Kitchen in Jones County. We're feeding 300 meals plus a day right now. And it blows my mind, you know, how busy we are and how many people just need one good meal.
Because a soup kitchen's a little bit different. The fact y'all provide a hot meal. It's
hot
not
meal.
Necessarily Every, coming
yep,
in and taking
meal,
a food box.
Hot lunch. And we want to make sure that it's really, and I know you'll love this, nutritionally sound. I make them, I might be in Jackson, but they send me a picture every day because I first believe that you eat with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're coming through a soup kitchen, that meal must look yummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, and how did it taste? And they must taste it and they must tell me, you know, it's not just colorful on that plate, but it also takes. It tastes good.
It tastes good. And that does good. That does good for the body. It does good for the mind. But it's not free, right? Like, and so, and that's one of the things where, you know, it sounds great, but you also need support. You need support
yes.
from those that can. And one of the fun ways to support is supporting through the Good Samaritan Balloon Chase, the bike ride and walk, but also the golf ball drop, which I think is so much fun and such an easy way.
Drop.
Obviously, not everyone can make it in to bike ride or walk this coming weekend, but everybody can buy a golf ball if they want to.
You can buy a golf ball. You can buy a golf ball online. Line, and you don't have to be there to win the closest ball or the first ball in the hole. We actually Facebook Live it, and I will call them. That night I'll call them, and it's really fun. It is exciting, and we only sell 1,000 balls at $20 a piece. Once we pay the winner $5,000, then Good Sam has raised $15,000, and this year, we have a new endeavor since COVID called Hub for the Hungry. And one of the big things that we do is rescue food. If folks knew how much food on a regular got thrown away
yeah,
in our community, nothing is wrong with that food. change a label. The sell-by date is going to be next week, and a restaurant might not want it. We pick up from food brokers from all kinds of places daily, and we can take that food. Of course, we get first dibs and make sure our programs have what they need, but then we give to churches, other soup kitchens, other food pantries all over the community. Sometimes we take some to Laurel, and we are able to, well, 7 million pounds.
That's insane.
Since COVID.
Which would have gone to the trash.
Oh, like, yeah, let's, yeah. Let's, I mean, we're talking about Dumpster City. Yeah. And when we first started, we called it salvage. But, you know, salvage.
Nobody wants salvaged food.
Salvaged food
rescued
sounds really
better.
Gross. We say rescued yeah. food because it is delightful. Yeah. From steaks to shrimp to beautiful vegetables to, I mean, you name it. And one of the fun things, we were talking about the soup kitchen, is they get to challenge themselves on different kinds of meals that they're going to make with the different kinds of things that Kathy rescues.
Well, you got to you got to roll with it. Whatever's coming
you
in
do,
is what you
yes.
got to use. But usually it's good quality stuff, and I just love to see that being rescued and put to good use. There's absolutely senseless for it to be thrown away, in sort of my opinion. Another need you guys have that I'm sure this money will at least alleviate or allocate for is the truck. Your old truck that does such good work that drives around. I saw that it had broken down.
It did break down.
And it's a lifeline for you guys.
It is. We can't pick up rescued food and deliver it to some of the groups that we do. I mean, we deliver to, you know, 15 to 25 seniors every Friday in some low-income apartment complexes. We deliver to other groups because we're not the only ones using this food. And without that truck, I mean, we were at a standstill except for the days we did. U-Haul was our friend for a few days there because we wanted to. You never want to say no in the rescue business because it'll go in the trash.
And then you
just
never
the
know
idea.
The next is coming.
Yeah.
Did we get the truck fixed?
We did get
okay.
the truck fixed. We still have a little balance on it, so anybody would like to donate to that actual endeavor, we would love for you to do that. You know, the big thing about big trucks is a part, even like an alternator, where you have to take the whole motor out first, ends up being $5,000.
So how do we buy a ball? How to buy
okay,
a ball?
Okay, so to buy a ball, remember there's 1,000 of them, $20 a piece. If you go on our website, goodsamaritancenter.org, on the very front page, you'll say, want to buy some balls? You just click on that. It'll take you right there, and it will let you buy as many. Well, you can only buy up to 1,000, but it'll let you buy as many as you'd like.
And then come Saturday.
Saturday at about, we like it to almost be dark. The hot air balloons, they'll do a glow after we do our run and before the fireworks. One of our pilots, Karen Kent from Louisiana, will actually raise her balloon up. It'll mm-hmm. be tethered while the other balloons glow. And she'll take 1,000 balls up in a big old tarp that we've had special made. And we'll dig a hole with, it'll be a golf ball top hole, just uh-huh. big enough for one mm-hmm. golf ball. And she'll drop them all at a countdown. And then the whole thing, like I said, is on Facebook Live. And we'll be able to figure out who exactly won that night.
How long does it take to pick up all the balls?
Well, we let the kids love to do it.
Yeah.
But then, like, this week, we have volunteer youth groups coming.
Yeah.
And they're counting the balls because every year we have to add some because somehow balls get lost.
Balls get lost. If I win the ball, though, I want my ball. Like,
well,
I want,
there you go. So I mean, that would be
I would donate a new one.
I have a whole drawer of unmarked balls.
We didn't get to the race, so Kathy, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi. the SuperTalk app, and at supertalk.fm.
From the south side, got braids in her hair. First time I seen her walk by, and I about fell off my chair. Had to get her number.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Of course, we're always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget to watch us. We are on your computer, mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We're continuing our conversation with Miss Kathy with the Good Samaritan Center. They're going to be a part of the Mississippi Championship Balloon Festival that's coming up this weekend in Canton. But if you don't want to ride balloons, I don't know if you can, but you can ride a bike, or you can walk, or you can run also. So how long has that part been a part of this great event?
That has been about 8 years.
Okay.
There was a balloon pilot that was an avid cycler, and he's like, Kathy, maybe we could do both. And so I started doing research, and I'm like, oh, how fun would that be? And so we just started it, and it's grown. And, you know, we have about 150 people that participate every year, and they love it. And sometimes they get to see the balloons fly over, depending on the weather. Balloons are always very weather-related, whether they can fly. But we have a great time, and so it's wonderful. Get
so
the support.
So is it a race, or is it more of just a ride?
It is. It's really just a fun run.
Yeah.
Well, fun cycle, and then in the evening it's a run, just for fun. It's not real uber competitive.
Right.
Although cyclists can be very competitive. It's just really to get out there and enjoy it and raise some money for Good Sam.
So what's the route like? Like, what's the distance? Is it just a 5K?
There is a 10. Okay, for the cycle in the morning, there's it's an out and back from the Canton multipurpose complex. And a lot of people ride out there anyway, so it's sort of their turf. But it's an out and back. You can do 10 miles, so you do a 5 mile out and back. And then you do 15, and it's a 30 mile. And some folks are training for more, so we'll see them an hour later, and they're like, I just did 60. And I'm like, oh my. Okay.
Yeah.
They make their own
Show
route.
Off.
They
yeah.
make their own route. They come back. Tourism helps us with the breakfast for them, for all the cyclists in the morning. And then the cyclists are invited to come back that night. And then in the evening, we have a 2 mile or 4 mile walk or run. Non-competitive at all. Again, not at all competitive. And once that's over, we do a kids' fun run, which is so fun. The kids love it. And then we feed everybody, and they get a very great seat, front row seat for the hot air balloons, and then amazing fireworks.
Oh, that sounds. I appreciate runs that are in the afternoon. Like, you know, I mean, and you like the ones that are sort of traditionally in the morning. You get up, you sort of get it over with. I know those are fun. But then also I like those opportunities for, like, you know, you just wait till later in the day. You're going to be hot and sweaty anyway.
Right.
By that time, you might as well have an excuse to be in your gym clothes to sit and sort of watch the hot air balloons. And I'm sure there's a great T-shirt that's involved in that.
They're a great T-shirt and a really cool medal, too.
Which, that's one reason to sign up. How do we still sign up for that? I'm sure there's still time to do that.
There is. If you go to raceroster.com and just put in Balloon Chase 2024, it'll come up, and then you register. You can register to do the bike ride either distance. You can do either distance for the walk in the evening, or if you're really motivated, and so far I noticed there's about 8 or 10 people, they're going to do both. They're going to come in the morning, they're going to ride, and then they're going to eat breakfast, and then they'll come back later in the evening and do the walk run, and then just hang out with us. This will be sort of a whole fun day.
And if you've never seen the balloons glow, what's that like, Kathy?
It's pretty amazing, you know. And what I love about Canton is the field isn't isolated and cordoned off. When the glow is happening, kids can actually go visit the pilots, go touch a basket. They can actually walk through and see it really, really up close and personal. It's really amazing, quite amazing.
And then if the weather is favorable, do they fly all throughout the weekend or all throughout Saturday, the balloons, or is it just like maybe in the morning or in between times? I know they can't us all be around when they're supposed to be there glowing, but.
Well, it is a competition for the pilots. It is the Championship Hot Air Balloon Fest. So they'll be flying Thursday, Friday morning, They'll do a media flight on Thursday. Friday, they're going to be at North Park for that big glow on Friday night. They will do they're going to fly on Saturday. That's the whole point. They try to fly over the cyclist.
Oh, now that's cool.
It's very, very cool. And then Saturday night, they will glow. Some of them, though, a couple of them might actually fly over the field because they try to give an experience of all of that. And then Sunday morning, they'll compete again and they'll fly again.
And there's no cost to come and see the balloon.
Not at all. This is why we had to sort of figure out, okay, we'll have a golf ball drop and we'll have this fun race because everything else is free. I mean, they do have vendors there where you can get food, but you can bring a picnic and hang out with the family and just, you know, it's great.
GoodSamaritan.org.
Mm-hmm. GoodSamaritanCenter.org.
GoodSamaritanCenter.org. Click on buy your balls. I already got my two balls. That's going to be the lucky number. I'm going to leave that up to you, Kathy. Okay. We'll have to check back in. Y'all know if I won. Let me just go on and tell you. I'll be excited. I won't quit work, but I'll be excited. I may take a day off. All right. Thank you so much for your time, Kathy. But you guys stick with us. We got more for you up next. We got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.